Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Hurricane Helene dumped 40 trillion gallons of rain on the southern states in the last week. And a fortnight before Helene, rainfall from Storm Boris in Central Europe killed 25 and displaced 25,000 people from their homes. Last winter here saw storms that were 20% wetter than they would have been 150 years ago. And climate change made those 10 times more likely. So is the rain the thin end of the climate change wedge for us in this part of the world? And have we given that enough thought? Well, Philip Boucher-Hayes is here with me in the studio now to tell us more about all of this. So firstly, Philip, can you join the dots between all of those events that I mentioned?
Yeah, there was a particular anecdote from Hurricane Helene, which I thought illustrated the way that we tend to disregard the risk or the threat from rain. An agency nurse called Jeanette Barfield was just finishing her shift on Friday night last week when Hurricane Helene had made landfall in Florida on Thursday. And there had been a very wet weather system in Asheville in North Carolina, where she was, in the days preceding the arrival of Hurricane Helene. So there was water standing on the ground, but the car in front of her on her commute home was able to pass through this water. So she thought, I should be able to do the same thing. But it came through the air intake of the car, it cut out, and she did what I think most of us would do in that circumstance. She stayed with the car and kept on trying to restart it and restart it and restart it. And then over the course of 2, maybe 3 minutes, the water started coming into the car. She first really noticed it when it was at her ankles. In a matter of seconds, it was up around her knees. And then within, she said, 2 minutes, it was at her chest. And all that time, she did, again, what most of us do. We become sort of fixated on completing the task in front of us.
We ignore
the risks all around us. It was only when the water was at her chest that a police officer grabbed her out of the car and said, I'm getting you out of here, getting you to safety. Ultimately, the waters in Asheville rose by 26 feet, because in the space of 2 days from Hurricane Helene, 30 inches of rain fell. And this is the point at which we usually depart in our coverage of these stories, and we start talking about the political response. We start talking about how Biden and Trump are sparring over who has and hasn't promised the right level of federal aid and so on. And we ignore the processes, and we ignore specifically rain in this case, because what happened here was really utterly remarkable. Helene started Tuesday before last as a Category 1 in the Gulf of Mexico. But there's all this heat in the Gulf of Mexico, which meant that within a space of time that left meteorologists kind of breathless, it went from being a Category 1 to a Category 4. It hit, made landfall as a Category 4. Now, usually, once a hurricane makes landfall, it starts to lose its energy.
And we're used to hearing that, aren't we? Yeah. It makes landfall and it starts to reduce in strength and it rolls on, causing whatever damage it will, but not as bad as it was when it hit the coastal areas.
Yeah, and that damage at the coastal areas at Big Bend in Florida was absolutely horrendous. I'm not discounting it or ignoring it, but 500 miles north is where Jeanette Barfield was stuck in that car. Draw a direct line from the Florida Panhandle to the Great Lakes, and Asheville is almost halfway up. That's how far Helene and Helene's rainfall penetrated, bringing 11 inches to Atlanta, bringing 30 inches and 26 feet of flood water in Asheville. Something that scientists have already calculated was made between 20 and 50% more intense by climate change than it would have been if it had been 150 years ago. And that is part of a piece with all of these weather systems that we're seeing now.
So that increased rainfall level, that feature of these storms, that's becoming increasingly common. Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, it absolutely is. We look then just 2 weeks further back to Storm Boris. Which was named by the Italian Meteorological Service. Now, it wasn't a hurricane like Helene. It was warm waters, again, in the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, moving north and meeting a block of cold Arctic air over the High Tatra Mountains and the Austrian Alps. And once warm air is forced to rise like that, it's almost like sort of wringing out a wet cloth. And huge amounts of rain fell over Italy, Romania, Austria, Hungary, Czechia, Slovakia, Poland, southern Germany. Again, 11 inches of rain. And this did, as we know, huge amounts of damage. 25,000 people displaced from their homes. 10 billion in emergency aid already promised by the European Commission. But it was in the rapid analysis of a group called the World Weather Attribution Centre, which we'll talk about more in a moment. Again, the rain in Storm Boris was 20% heavier, or made 20% heavier than if it had happened 150 years ago, before the industrial age. There is a rule of thumb here, Claire, that for every 1 degree in additional warming, you'll get 7% more rain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how rain falls. Rain doesn't fall evenly over 365 days a year over the entire continent. It comes in concentrated bursts like Storm Boris, like Hurricane Helene. And our dams, our flood systems, our cities just aren't built to cope with anywhere between 20% and 50% extra rain. Look at, I was just thinking about this the other day as I drove past the Vartry Reservoir near Roundwood in Wicklow. 160 years ago, the first phase of that was built. 100 years ago, the second phase was built. They didn't build that with between 20 and 30% extra rainfall, were it to come in a big storm. And mind, and
they didn't need to consider that at the time, of
no,
course.
No, no,
yeah.
They didn't. Of course they didn't. It just wasn't a part of the thinking at all. But it needs to be, because, once again, the World Weather Attribution Centre people, this group of scientists who work with Met Services to figure out how much more likely climate change made an event, how much more intense or violent it made an event, did the same thing for Ireland's wet winter of the winter just gone. The one where it started raining in July and it didn't stop raining until about April.
And we spoke about that so much on this programme in the context of agriculture, which was in an increasingly desperate state coming into this spring and summer.
And I suppose scientists, farmers like the rest of us, have looked at the Indian summer that we have just had in September and do that kind of, well, you know, we've just pulled it out of the bag once again, haven't we? We got a lucky break. And didn't we always have wet winters? We tend to discount these things. And to a certain extent, we are like the lobster in the pot of warming water. We are the worst judges of how bad things are getting. But if you look at the numbers, and the numbers alone, the numbers that are being provided by people in the World Weather Attribution Centre, you see how much more serious things are getting. That wet winter, the storms, well, number one, there was more storms than had ever been recorded before. The water in those storms, the rainfall was 30% heavier than if it had happened 150 years ago. Climate change made the whole series of events over that winter period 10 times more likely than if it happened 150 years ago. And in the future, there is a 20% likelihood next year we will have as many storms, and a 25% likelihood that they will be as wet as last year, and a 5% likelihood that the whole winter period will be as wet as last year. Now, you listen to those odds, you think, oh, I can gamble with those. You know, that's a 75% chance that it won't be as bad. It's not, because if you just reduce the wetness slightly on last year and say, OK, you know, take a week of rain out of that, how much more likely is that? Then it goes up towards 20% odds. We have to get used to the idea that the world that we thought that we lived in is no longer recognisable to us. There is a Russian roulette game that is going to be played every winter now as to what towns end up getting dumped on, like Middleton did with 100 millilitres of water in the course of a day and a half. And that's something that I spoke to Dr. Freddy Otto, one of the leading scientists in this area of attribution science. It was actually coincidentally, I'd just been talking to you from London on the day of the UK general election, and then I popped around the corner into Imperial College just behind the Natural History Museum. And I asked her about that study. I have since talked to her again, an interview that you're going to hear now, about the study that they did on Central Europe. She told me that, yeah, look, there had been some similar events in the past in Central Europe in 2002 and in 1997. But just because there had been events like this in the past doesn't mean that we get to discount things like the floods that have just happened. Because if those events from the past were to happen today, they would be much more destructive now than they were then.
Of course, extreme events have always happened, but we do see more of them now, and they are more extreme in terms of intensity. So the rainfall has a higher magnitude, a higher intensity, and therefore is more destructive.
Freddie, your studies suggest that there's a 1% chance of identical flooding happening again in Europe next year, and a 5% chance of winter in Ireland being just as wet as it was last year next year. I wonder, though, do those odds increase much if you say something nearly as wet as last winter or nearly as damaging as that storm, Boris?
These numbers that we have calculated are for exactly this event as it has happened. So for the rainfall in that area over 4 days. But the change in intensity of heavy rainfall also holds for slightly less extreme events, and also if it occurs over a smaller area, and there then we might be talking about a 20% chance of a slightly less extreme event occurring again. The long-term cost of again and again and again having to find 10 billion and, as you said, burying people and having people losing their livelihoods, I think it's pretty clear that these upfront costs of building better flood defences are really worth it in the slightly longer term.
So that's Dr. Freddy Otto. It need not be like this. There's still time to change the course of history.
We need to adapt to what is coming. First thing we need to do is start taking it more seriously. Once we do, there are any number of different things that we can do in the landscape to mitigate the effects of these. And that's a discussion for you and me to have another day.
And we will have it. Philip, thanks so much. Philip Boucher-Hayes there. Coming up next, the mental health benefits of decluttering your house.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.